David Eagle's blog, read by David Eagle. This was written on January the 27th, 2013, and it is now, and it's being narrated to you on... I'm telling you this in case you might have a spreadsheet with all this information in. So it's quite important that I tell you the written date, which is January the 27th, 2013, but it is now being presented to you on February the 26th. So put that into your database, and then you can relax and enjoy the blog. Excellent. It's called Beep Repaired. My phone beeped, notifying me of a new text message. It was from the taxi company, alerting me to the fact that my taxi had arrived. This was hardly news to me, since I had been sitting in the taxi for the last 5 minutes. A couple of minutes later, the phone beeped again, notifying me of another text message. It was from the taxi company. This time, they were informing me that my taxi had been dispatched. How did we survive before mobile phones? I was having a particularly stressful day. I had a headache which wasn't being improved by the overly talkative taxi driver. Perhaps a more useful service than the taxi company's text alert service would be to allow the customer to choose the type of driver that they would like. If you were feeling in the mood for a chat, then you could mention this when booking your taxi, and the taxi company would send one of their more garrulous drivers. Similarly, if you had a headache, you could opt for one of the more reserved drivers. I'd like a taxi from the centre of Gateshead, please, into the centre of Newcastle. And could you send me one of your overly opinionated, narrow-minded, bigoted drivers, please? Also, I'm really interested in hearing a litany of ill-considered thoughts about why this country is going to the dogs. Someone with very strong and misguided views on immigration would be most welcome. And if possible, can you send me a driver who's had lots of C-list celebrities in the back of his cab? That should make for an entertaining journey. I'm sorry, sir. I'm afraid we don't have any drivers like that working for us. What? Call yourself a taxi company? I'll take my custom elsewhere, thank you very much. Because I am blind, my phone speaks what's on the screen. I therefore have no need to look at the screen, and so I turn the screen off, which saves battery power and gives me extra privacy. I often, therefore, wonder what it looks like to people when they see me texting. There would be nothing on the screen. The phone would look like it was switched off. It would look like I was just tapping a phone that wasn't turned on. Perhaps they think that some kindly adult has given me their broken phone as a toy to play with so that I can pretend to be a normal grown-up with a real grown-up phone. Oh, bless him. Look at that. Look at the blind man playing with the broken phone. He's tapping away on it just as if he was actually texting. Oh, still, it's keeping him out of mischief, and I suppose it helps take his mind off his disability. Sometimes, if I'm typing a long document, I'll use the Bluetooth keyboard. Again, I can't see, so I have no need to look at the screen. Also, I can touch type, so I don't need to hear the speech, since I know exactly what I'm typing. Therefore, I will often leave the phone in my pocket and just have the keyboard on my knee. Because I'm using Bluetooth, there are no wires, meaning that people would just see a man pressing buttons on a keyboard that looks like it isn't connected to anything. So people probably think that I'm just playing at being a businessman, pretending to be a grown-up. "Eh," said the taxi driver. He had a habit of starting his sentences by saying, "Eh." "Eh," said the driver. "Is that a special phone, son?" I explained to him that it was just a standard iPhone, which has an inbuilt screen reader. "Eh," said the taxi driver. If you are a director who is perhaps putting on a stage performance of the blog posts of David Eagle, perhaps it would be helpful for me now to give you some direction regarding the taxi driver's "eh," in order to help give your dramatisation extra authenticity. Now, this was obviously written, and I'm reading this to you, so I mean, this was designed for people reading the written version of the blog, but the people listening to this blog will not only get what I wrote, but they'll also be able to hear an audio demonstration as well, so extra value on the podcast. So, direct your actor, playing the part of the taxi driver, to start the E roughly around the F above middle C on a piano, so that'll be... And then slide down over the course of about 1 second to end on, let's say, A below middle C. So that'd be like, da 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 E. Feel free, though, to extemporise around this. This is just a guideline. Too much rigidity in the E can make the performance seem a bit stilted and unnatural. So, you know, have a bit of an improvise around that theme. All right? Okay. Well done, by the way, for choosing to put on such a challenging and important work such as this. I mean, many directors shy away from putting on productions of my blog through fear of failing to do it justice. And obviously, I mean, you are going to fail to capture the full breadth and sentiment of my blog. I mean, you're only human, but I'm happy that you are at least trying. And I hope that you've got someone skilled and dexterous enough to play the part of David Eagle. It is not at all an easy role to play, and only the very best of the acting world can come anywhere close to playing the role with the reverence and gravitas that it requires. And please, 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 don't get an American to play me. The character of David Eagle is not to be Americanized, and certainly not Americanized with a Z. I am not being dumbed down. Be warned. If you meddle with the script too much, then you may be sued by my estate. All right? Other than that, though, just enjoy it. The blog of David Eagle is a fun piece. That's what's important at the end of the day. Just have fun with it. But don't forget everything else that I've just mentioned, or I'll sue your arse. And note, that's arse, not ass. All right? Don't you dare Americanize me. Anyway, sorry, where were we? Oh, yes. Hey, said the taxi driver. So you can do anything on that phone, can you? I nodded. Hey, great. So you can view your photos. I pointed out that while I could, of course, open the photos folder, my phone was unable to miraculously enable me to see my photos. Hey, said the taxi driver. But it'll get there, won't it? Technology. You mark my words, son. I wasn't overly heartened by this prediction, since the driver didn't seem to be the kind of man who would have any unique insight into such a subject. I decided that what this taxi driver really could do with right now was an anecdote. It would mean that I wouldn't have to endure any more opinions about politicians, which had been his preferred topic of conversation until his diversion onto the subject of my phone. I suppose it would be rude of me not to share the anecdote with you too. Plus, failing to include the anecdote at this specific moment in the blog post would impair the sense of continuity, and I certainly don't want to be getting a reputation as a sense of continuity impairer. That wouldn't do at all. No, no. A few years ago, I bought a new phone. My friend was adding her phone number to my contacts. "You've taken a surprising amount of photos for someone who can't see," she said. I wasn't aware that I had taken any photos, but she said that my photos folder was full of photos. She started to browse through the folder to see what photos they were. She then gasped. "Oh, there's about 50 photos on here of you naked," she said, understandably sounding shocked. I'd like to think that her gasp was one of reverent wonder at the majesty of what she was seeing, but to be honest, I think it was simply a gasp of surprise, and probably also horror and disgust. I too was surprised, as I didn't understand why my phone would be full of naked photos of me, or anyone else for that matter. Eventually, I deduced what must have happened. I must have taken the photos by accident when I got out of the shower. I remembered that I was drying myself when I received a text message. Having never used the phone before, I was trying to work out how to reply to the message. I recalled hearing a clicking noise while I was searching for the reply option. I must have been inadvertently pressing the camera button, and the clicking noise was the sound of me accidentally taking pictures of my naked self. I would like to say that my friend then continued to spend a lot of time flicking through all the photos in the collection, perusing them, admiring my various poses, and making exclamations of delight and excitement. But obviously she didn't. Nor did she activate Bluetooth on her phone so that she could send the pictures to herself. Nor did she suddenly become extremely amorous towards me and cry, "Take me! Take me in your manly arms, David!" She sounds like a granny. She's not a granny, incidentally. That's just the way my voice went. I'm sure, though, that the photos didn't do me justice. After all, they had been taken by a blind man. Otherwise, if the angle and the lighting had been better, I'm sure that things would have been very different. But sadly, they weren't. Which is a shame, because if she had cried, take me in your manly arms, then this anecdote might have become a little bit more exciting. But sadly, this is all the excitement this anecdote has to offer, and so we may as well return to the taxi. Hey, chuckled the driver when I had finished my story. Hey, it's like they say, isn't it? Like they say, people do the funniest things sometimes, don't they? What on earth does that mean? People do the funniest things? As opposed to cats, dogs, chimpanzees? Also, what does he mean when he says, it's like they say, isn't it? It's like who says? The couple next door? The owners of the local chippy? The butcher? The baker? Uncle Tom Cobley? The taxi driver had seemingly enjoyed my story, but he was aware that we'd strayed off the topic of politics, and he was seemingly keen to get back onto this subject and impart some more of his opinions. I got out my netbook, hoping that the driver might take this as a sign that I was busy, saving me from enduring further narrow-minded drivel. "Hey," said the driver, unsurprisingly. "Is that a computer?" I nodded. "Hey, I mean, that's the way forward, isn't it? That's the way forward. Computers. Everything's computers nowadays, isn't it? It's like this car. All computers. They're taking over the world, aren't they? You can't even go to the toilet nowadays without computers, can you?" I assume that this was yet another example of the driver talking utter nonsense. Unless the driver's house was so high-tech that he had a computerised toilet. Or maybe he's in the habit of using a computer to document his toilet visits. Perhaps he inputs the information into a spreadsheet or a database. I have no idea what the best system would be for detailing your toilet habits. There's bound to be at least one website on the internet that deals in the sharing of people's toilet habits. Perhaps he just accidentally admitted to having a fetish involving toilets and webcams. Maybe he shares his toilet visits with his friends on email, or in this driver's case, E-mail. You see what I did there? Thank you. Though I think it's much more likely that he was simply making another one of his meaningless statements. My pontificating was interrupted. If you ever had your pontification interrupted before, you'll know it's not a nice feeling. My pontification was interrupted by the commencement of a beeping sound, which repeated itself at 1 second intervals. The driver was confused as to where it was coming from. He couldn't see any visual cues as to what it might be. "Is that you?" asked the driver. I was becoming increasingly concerned about the man's sanity. Did he honestly think that I was emitting a repetitious beeping sound? "Ah, yes. Sorry, I've got a rare form of schizophrenia. I'm currently under the illusion that I'm a reversing vehicle." Obviously, this was not my response. I simply informed him that it was not me emitting the repetitious beeping sound. After 5 minutes, he pulled over, got out, and checked the car. He re-entered the car, having been unable to identify the cause of the beeping. He had just started a 10-hour shift and potentially would have to endure the beeping for the whole of his working day. That would be enough to drive anyone mad, which in this man's case could be extremely dangerous, given his current level of sanity. The driver was starting to become irritated by the beeping and his inability to fix the issue. Naturally, I decided that what this taxi driver could really do with right now was a little joke to help temper his irritation. You obviously were... I'm trying to do a voice for myself. This is my voice, David. I don't have to put a voice on. I'm trying to think, oh, what voice should I do for me? I was just thinking there, this is, I don't need to do an impression. "You obviously weren't in the Scouts," I said. No, I wasn't," the man responded, sounding a bit taken aback by my remark. I too was taken aback because the driver had not started a sentence with an E. He'd started it with an I went to the Boys' Brigade. Ah, well, if you'd been a scout, then I'm sure that you'd have had that. I gave a pause to give the punchline some extra punch, something that it would certainly need, as you're about to find out. I'm sure you would have had that beep repaired. I gave a little pause and then added beep repaired, leaving space between the two words to help him understand the punchline. I apologise to you, dear listener, for such a poor joke, but in fairness, I did have a headache and I was being driven insane by an unstable taxi driver and a repetitious beeping sound. "No, mate," came the driver's response.
I think you're getting confused between knots and beeps.
He started to chuckle. I had no idea what on earth he was going on about, and so I asked him what on earth he was going on about. A shrewd move, I thought, given that I was trying to ascertain what on earth he was going on about. As you can see, I'm a pretty effective conversationalist. Well, explained the driver, scouts repair knots. They don't repair beeps. This nonsensical remark, on top of everything else that the driver had come out with, caused me to burst into laughter. At this exact moment, we reached our destination, and I didn't manage to stop laughing in time to explain the joke, so I left the driver and his mysterious beep to remain bemused. I'm sure that he'll probably see this episode as yet another event to corroborate his statement that people do the funniest things sometimes, don't they? As I walked away from the taxi and entered the place that I'd been dropped off at, which I shall keep a mystery in order to make me seem a little bit more aloof and enigmatic, I received another text message. It was again from the taxi company. They asked me to give them my thoughts about the journey. Apparently I would be entered into a cash prize draw simply for telling them about my journey. You have just listened to my reply to the taxi company. Well, they did ask. I'll let you know if I win. Perhaps I should attach some naked photos of myself to the message to bolster my chances of winning the prize. Thank you very much for listening to that. And remember, my website, davideagle.co.uk. Till next we meet, goodbye.